Renaissance Recall with Jim Miller is part of Grey Towers Productions.
Ha! Jamboree! Ho! Jamboree! Ho, you ring-tailed sailors coming up behind! Ho! Jamboree! Ho! Jamboree! Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm!
And welcome back to Renaissance Recall, where you're going to hear some crunching, because between our... I don't know what to call the first part. It's like the interview portion of it. But this is the breakout. And we have cookies.
And they're good.
Come over to the Ren Faire side. We have cookies.
This episode of Renaissance Recall brought to you by Girl Scouts of America because it's February.
Oh, absolutely. Then Mensa to die for.
I am currently chowing down on the Girl Scouts Caramel Delights. I think they used to be called the Samoas, which, you know, unless the Samoas were really getting a price from it, getting some money from the name.
It actually just depends on which councils you go with. There are two different bakeries that Girl Scouts of the America used, and I'm sorry, that's way too nerdy.
That's awesome. Let's just roll with that. But, so in breakout sessions, we just talk, we chat for about an hour, we joke around about stuff that we don't normally get a chance to joke around about.
All right.
It's kind of like backstage. And, I never specify where backstage is so that, you know, people don't try to visit us. But we do have some very interesting conversations backstage.
Really?
Really?
We call them war stories.
War stories. What was my favorite comment was walking in and hear, "Are you holding my sword? Really? Why are you holding my sword? You don't need to hold my sword. You have your own sword." There's just like this whole conversation.
Okay.
And the swords were actually almost identical.
Uh-huh.
So they didn't. It's like, oh.
Is this what mine is? This mine? Mine?
Yeah. The whole Farthingale, I call the Farthingale Follies.
Lined up on the bench?
Yeah, up on the bench.
You gotta cool down somehow.
Isn't that the truth?
Mm-hmm.
I know we're not supposed to bell, but that's the only way to get there.
Well, otherwise you get suction.
Absolutely.
To the ground.
We talked about that last dance thing where you push the noble woman down and she vacuums to the ground and she pops up later.
Yeah, right.
Oh my god.
Well, you know.
So Pat and I, we talked about a couple of things we do up front, and you were on the cast last year, so this year we're not having a cast.
That's true.
Which is different.
No, we're not having a scripted cast.
We're having a scripted cast.
Yes, we still have all the street performers and all the improvisational actors and the guilds and all that is still in place.
I think I understand why that went that way, in that... It was very hard, unless somebody followed you from each of the scenes that we did, they would lose something in the translation.
Yeah.
And not all of the people that are there are going to want to follow you, you know, from the gate show at the beginning to your midday show in the middle of the town. Maybe they're down in Noble's Glade at the time, you know. They might miss part of it. And if you miss part of it, I think you would lose... the storyline.
Well, it's also something that we might come back to later.
Oh, sure.
Because we've had some very interesting... We've had some things thrown at us, fight-wise and acting-wise, where
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Uh-huh. It's so much fun to grab my son's ear and drag him off the field.
That was such a beautiful moment.
It was fun. It was great fun.
And at some point, I'd love to get Travis here so that we can experience that portion of the show from his perspective. That would be lovely.
He was actually very willing. I have to give him credit.
Well, he had to be, just for the height difference alone.
Yes.
He kind of had to help you out.
Yes, he is kind of a foot taller than I am. What can I say?
No, Travis, great guy. Nice, relaxed.
Oh, my God, yeah. So.
It's being, you know, in that group of what we're running around and we're doing some acting. I wasn't a part of scripted last year, which gave me the opportunity to run out and do some fights with some other people.
Sure.
and had me following around as Captain Tyrannus looking for his daughter.
That was a funny storyline, Mom. Oh, my God. The number of young ladies said, are you my daughter?
Are you my daughter?
The worst part was that he didn't tell them right up front that he was looking for his daughter. He was just, like, walking up to people and be like, how old are you? I'm looking for a woman about your age. And so they start getting, people's minds go to the wrong place automatically. Yes. And then he would start asking them more and more and more questions. You know, where were you born? And do you know your parents? Are they here? Can you prove it? And so, and by the time they, you know, go, God, some of those people, he had them engaged for just 10, 15 minutes at a shot.
Sure.
And then at the very, very end, you can't possibly be my daughter, and just walk away. And they're staring like, what? Just that's not where I was going.
What was that?
Who that? One of my favorite ones was I would start asking them questions. Mm-hmm. And then when I felt that they were getting to a point where they were like, I don't know what's going on here, I would say, you know, I'm looking for my daughter, da 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 da. And suddenly there was just like that shift. And it brought them even further into what we were doing.
Oh, yeah.
Because mm-hmm. suddenly it was like, oh, you're looking for this person. And I'm like, yeah, let's.
Some of the patrons were trying to help him out.
That wouldn't be surprising.
I had a little guy who I thought was, I don't say this many times about people. He was adorable because he was walking around finding women of that description and dragging them over to me. And I'm going, I want to keep him.
Yes. He played right into it. Damn it. Mm-hmm. Oh, I think that's one of the most important parts about VARF. Is that it allows those of us who are in the Shire to play.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows patrons to step out of their normal day-to-day existence and come into our fantasy little world. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
There aren't a lot of occasions that adults get a chance to play. It's one of the reasons I like clowning, because I get to be a 6 or 7 year old. I can be stupid. I can sit on the ground, you know?
And then you're not feeling offended by it because you want to be in that particular, you know, time. You're like,
I don't have to think about anything serious.
And we do line wrangling.
Oh yes.
Oh, that is, I think all three of us are one of those. We always end up at the lines.
Oh, yeah. I like line duty. Line duty is amazing because I'm not necessarily as good with the improv as a lot of people are. I don't think real fast on my feet, but with lines, you can kind of have something already in your head ready to go and just run in and do it and run out.
The beauty of working lines like that is that you can work a certain group of people and then you can move about 50 feet over to another line and do the same thing.
And it's a new group of
people.
And
it's a new group of people. You have a new audience all the time. So you don't have to reinvent the wheel 100,000 times, but it does help if you get a couple of zingers in there.
Yeah.
You have to be able to react to that.
I like to try to chain them.
Uh-huh.
So, like, I'll start at the top of the hill or I'll start at the bottom of the hill, and I'll start working my way up the hill, but I will reference the last group.
Yeah.
So I'll have that one person that I'll find out a name, or, you know, they'll have like a hat on or something very specific. I go to the next line and then I yell back to that particular person. That was the person I normally got to crack up or
sure.
I focused on. And I bring them into the next line. And these people have no idea, you know, who the other one is. But then they look over and they're like, yeah, he's getting me too. I gotcha, you know. You're like, yeah, and then you go down the next one, you reference two lines ago, and then
sure.
the last line. And
it's all about bringing the audience back into your mm-hmm. little world. And that's a beautiful way to do it.
As we develop the site and we develop ways of dealing with things, like we got bleachers now, we're...
Mm-hmm. Covered bleachers.
We have seating.
Bleachers. At least the sunblock,
yes.
And our royal engineers, the real, we're going to make this work.
Yes.
Guys, any weather, any time, any, you know. But, you know, seeing some of those things happen in, like, nobles is going to be interesting, where we're going to have you know, high, more seating in a smaller area, you know, easier to communicate the shows, more people being able to see them.
I think that will help. I know Noble's Glade gets to be almost tedious because there's so much activity going on around there.
Well, and not to say I don't think they're going to do that, but I think they might. I think something on down the line would be like a restructuring of how the seats are, things like that.
Something. Well, it couldn't hurt.
And we don't know because the Royal Engineers are trying stuff all the time.
That's true.
But yeah. To see
they're
that,
like Madonna. They constantly reinvent themselves.
Well,
and the site.
It was nice to have a tent that actually had a floor this last couple of years to have the table where we're doing calligraphy, you know, rather than stuck trying to dodge the roots
with your table that's wobbling every time you
while you're trying to do a very nice hand script.
Yeah.
And these are not difficulties from, you know, the fair or people not doing things.
It's part of trying to do a show outside.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's part of what you run into. Every outdoor site has problems.
Some sort of inherent problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, shoot, I went last summer-ish. I can't actually remember when it was, but so a bunch of us went down to check out the Celtic Festival and Scottish Highland Games. And the day we went, it was pouring. And once again, here you have that. I mean, that place is basically a field that mm-hmm. they, you know, pop tents up just like we do, and they do everything. But they've got, you know, these dancers are trying to get ready. Now, they had a stage for the dancing, but I happened to notice a bunch of them before they went on stage are trying so hard to keep their shoes clean and dry so when they get up on stage, they're not slipping.
Yeah.
And all I could think is, I totally get it. It's the same breed.
Dancing around the maypole. I mean, that ground is uneven. And there are a lot of folks that have a hard time dancing at that mm-hmm. point. Because if you step on a rock, you might twist your ankle. There's a grade to the whole site.
There is the grade to the site. And around the maypole, there's the cement blocks that make, so the maypole actually makes a sundial, and it's pretty darn accurate. I tested it this year.
Really?
Yeah, just out of curiosity, because I knew where the stones were. Mm-hmm. And of course, we have our astrologer who goes around telling people, and so he was kind of explaining things. And I went up there at one point, I think I was eating lunch or something, and I was sitting down eating my lunch, and I just kind of happened to look over and was going, you know, the shadow of the maypole is crossing that stone exactly dead center. I wonder if it is 2 o'clock.
Pull out
the timepiece.
Oh, God, it's 2 o'clock.
It was like 5 or 6 minutes off. But that was it, and I was going, you know, that's
pretty amazing, actually.
Pretty cool. I don't know if it was done intentionally that way. I kind of hope it was, but if it wasn't, whoever put those in, good on ya. It works. Yeah. But what I was thinking of, so first off, two things, is earlier there was only two voices, now there's three. Your co-hostess with the mostest is back. Hi! but earlier you were talking about putting in the bleachers up at the joust field with the covers over them. Mm-hmm. And I have a very distinct memory during rehearsals with the scripted cast. Everybody was sitting, like, everybody had kind of taken a bench to themselves and we're all running lines over and over and over again. It was a fairly hot day. And at one point I looked across and every single member of scripted cast is laying down on their bench reciting their lines.
Yeah.
And I'm the dork who grabbed my phone. And it was at a point in the rehearsal process where people were starting to pull pieces of their garb out and wearing it, but they weren't in full garb yet. So I have a photo of the scripted cast, half dead, half garbed, half plain clothes, laid out on the brand new bleachers.
Half and half.
You know, it's basically one and a half the awesome. So
she's not modest.
No. I see.
No, there's no secrets there. I'm not quiet either.
Nope.
Gee, thanks for agreeing so quickly.
Well, oh, did you expect anything else?
Not really.
Oh. I like how she finishes with the hostess with the mostest.
Of course.
Well, I just thought it'd be kind of weird for our listeners if they're, you know, listening to the first half. And there's only two people, and then they come in for the second half.
Didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
We're like 20 minutes into it, and we're like, oh yeah, we have people here.
Jim, you didn't do your intro. You didn't welcome people back.
I did welcome people back, but we just kind of dove right back in.
I wasn't paying attention. I was into my cookies.
You were into you. She was into her cookies.
I mean, the cookies.
Like her cups. It's like, she was in her cups. She was in her cookies.
Yeah.
So, Jim Miller, host. Kristen Ehrlich's co-host, Pat Janelle, the wonderful Pat Janelle, who has been so kind to come out to us on a evening and just shoot the proverbial, which is the safest way we can say that.
Works for me.
Shoot the proverbial breeze, man.
That we have to look back in the etymology of that word because
etymology.
Ideology.
We go.
And she's smart too. The etiology of that phrase, shoot the breeze.
I am college educated.
I am. Oh, gosh. And it's always good to have people that, you know, are well-read, you know, watch some of the dumb cartoons that just made people laugh because people got the
joke. They're best.
Yes.
And they're still dorks.
We're still dorks. But we're happy dorks, and that's all we can really are. Oh,
we got absolutely
an interesting season come up. We just got the schedule out.
Oh, super! Yeah.
So.
Yeah, new cast auditions.
Whoa! That's something we can't put on the pod.
Are coming up.
Oh, there we go.
So. He didn't know what I was gonna say. So say yeah, we just got the email that new cast auditions were coming up.
And I'm probably gonna ask them if I can record a new cast thing for putting in between the interview.
Not a bad idea.
So, you know, just I'm trying to help out as much as can. I want to get as much of the word out there as possible.
That is imperative.
We do
the
try.
The more we get the word out, the more people attend, the more we can grow.
And the more I want to see more volunteer cast, because I really want to see the Shire just hopping.
Absolutely.
And just having so many people just rolling around. I want to see crowds. I mean, not, you know, not so packed in we're sardining, or so packed in it's like, I feel different. You know, it's just...
Right.
I want to see some solid crowds and enough cast to really take it back to them and be able to talk and joke. And
what I like is that between the site we have, the people we have both on cast and our patrons, is that we can have a day where we've got 2,000 people on that site and it doesn't feel sardines. It doesn't feel cramped.
Crowded, yeah.
Like, you can definitely tell a busy day from a less busy day. And I use the term less busy because we haven't had a slow day in, well, there was a couple of days this past year where, just rained buckets.
There's no way we could
but
get
we still,
out.
Even with that, had decent amount of people come.
You still have that core group, though, that's always going to come, regardless of
the
adversities that
And there are those patrons
them.
Who prefer the rainy days because there is less people. But
there's some people that prefer their creature comforts.
Sure.
Yeah. For sure. But, you know, even with big days, that site never really feels crammed, packed. Yeah.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
And
there are enough places for people to go
they're not
standing on top of each other.
And we just feel it because we go all day, you know, talking to people and realize, the day's over. That was fast.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah.
Or about that time we're like, yes, this is my voice.
You want me to say what?
when people are out in the back and we're trying to sing or trying to do something.
I have to walk up the hill again?
One more time.
There are advantages to being old.
Or seeming old.
Yes, well, details.
Seeming old.
Details.
Oh, that would be something I've never done before. I've never come in as like an older person.
An older character. See,
an
now...
older character.
You now might want to try it. The biggest thing is learning just the subtle details.
Movements.
Where your movement is a little bit slower or a little more hunched or into yourself, that sort of thing.
You met Bruno, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But funny clown thing. I did a couple of years ago, did a skit for a show. Mm-hmm. I came out with a walker and did a walker ballet.
Yes!
And it ended up on YouTube, actually. But it ended up...
And how do we search for that?
With me being stuck in the walker and waddling out.
Oh, it was a lot of fun.
Do you know what we didn't do last time on the recording?
What's that?
I didn't have you plug your school.
Oh, well, yes.
Do it now.
Love and Laughs Clown School. We will have a class starting in September. We run approximately 12 to 15 weeks, depending on holidays. And we teach everything you ever wanted to know about clowning.
That would be a great gift as a joke, as well as a joke as a gift.
Absolutely.
Also, one way of turning around and just going, yeah, you're a clown here.
We don't do that. We make you work for it.
No, I meant their family and yes. Friends. Like, you're a clown. You should be here. Not you guys calling them clowns.
That's
We're
right.
We're going to enroll Jim.
Ooh.
Have a blast.
September, you said?
September, absolutely. Usually the... We do it on Mondays because Mondays is good with the church that we work out of. Usually the week after Labor Day weekend.
Mm. Okay.
So you can go to clown school and I will go learn how to make my own arrows.
Oh, really?
And
that
then
sounds
I will
neat.
Shoot you in your squeaky feet.
No, don't shoot.
I have a co-host threshold.
Squeaky feet?
Squeaky feet.
My feet never squeak.
No?
Nose does every once in a while, but, you know.
There's got to be a squeaker somewhere.
That's a professional hazard.
Well, the number of children that actually will come up and try to grab your nose is appalling. What I generally do in that particular situation is I have them hold up their index finger. Mm-hmm. I will actually take their hand, touch my nose, and pull them away. I'm controlling the movement so they're not poking me or...
Oh, gosh.
Smacking you in the face.
I've been smacked in the face. It's not fun. Funniest story, one of the first birthday parties I ever did, I had a young kid come up and was trying to stomp on my brand new clown shoes. Now, my clown shoes, my first ones, were like $350.
Ooh.
Yeah. You don't want to have that happen. And he kept trying and trying and trying to stomp on them. And I finally grabbed him, held him by both arms, and said, "Where's your mother?" And I walked over to his mother and says, "If you would like to replace my $350 clown shoes, have your child stomp on them one more time." You haven't seen a mother move so fast in your life. She had this kid by the arm and so quick, and he never bothered me the rest of the day. It was
wonderful. It's
always
a problem of financial cost.
Yes, indeed.
I did a very short stint, about 2 hours long, inside a horse costume.
Horse costume.
A horse costume. And so there was this Briar Fun Day. It was put on by the Briar Model Horses. And they send out, you know, these blank, small-sized models that kids can paint. And they have all kinds of activities. And one of the activities that they have is their mascot comes out and visits the kids. And I can't remember the horse's name, but I was inside the horse outfit. Worst 2 hours of my life. And it was the first time I had ever been in one of those costumes with the big head and you can only see through the mouth.
Now the grand question, was you the front end or the back end?
I was the whole horse.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a stand up on two legs kind of a deal. So, but the head was massive. The head was incredibly disproportionate to the body. And the bodysuit.
Timber!
Right? It was really hard to hold up and it sat on your shoulders and I could see out the bottom of my mouth. and the worst part about and the whole rest of the outfit, it was so basically imagine like onesie pajamas, but they're made for just about anybody to be able to fit into them. I'm 5'2".
Yes.
So our horse was a little on the baggy side. Like his tail was around my knees. And so I'm walking around like with my hooves trying to hold up my tail so it's in kind of the right spot and I'm not tripping. And we go out to see all the kids and the horse head had a halter and short lead attached to it. And it wouldn't have been so bad if it wasn't for that halter because some kid launched herself off of a chair, grabbed onto the halter that was on my horse head, and everything hit the ground.
Oh.
Now, luckily, I managed to keep the head on and get back up because that would have been horrifying
drama
for everybody. But at the end, the woman who was running the event, who worked for Breyer, she came out. And she asked me if I had ever done, like, costume characters before. And I said, absolutely not. And I never will again. That was my first and last day inside of a character costume.
There's a lot to be said for some of the costume characters.
Mm. Yes.
Mascots.
I've worked down at King's Dominion and in their, as a clown, doing their... corporate events and that sort of thing, mm-hmm. picnics and whatnot. And invariably, one or two of the costume big-headed characters would come down. You could always tell when there were one or two particulars because the character would have so much life and be so animated and interact well with the kids. And then you hit the one or two that are standing there like a lump and waving, you know, whoop. Okay. Bye-bye. We'll try again.
I give them a lot of credit. First off, they're normally in those things a lot longer than I was. Mm-hmm. They're incredibly awkward. They're usually heavy.
Yeah.
They're very hot. And some of these...
Well, the saving grace in some respects is that they do actually make little fan-type contraptions
that can fit inside.
Or cooling vests and whatnot underneath the costume.
Yeah. I've seen some of those. Some of the pieces are really impressive now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I was looking at that as like, if I ever go back into plate, I'm thinking be a little spinning fan in the front of my helmet.
I'm thinking, you know, it actually is a safety precaution for some of the heavier costumes that you see. Or at least a cooling vest or the kerchiefs or type thing that you can hide under a ruff or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To help cool people down.
I got in trouble because I was wearing Under Armour under my armor.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to wear like kind of like a semi shirt with it because it wasn't looking like the other uniform, but I was one of the very few people that stayed on my feet the whole time.
Yes.
Because, you know, with that Under Armour under that plate, if the breeze blew through there, my temperature was, like, beautiful.
Ooh,
I was like, yeah! Like, suddenly you just see me. Yeah, we call it joustergasming.
Yeah.
Where it just, you know, suddenly that cold breeze blows through and you're, oh, hi. Ooh, I feel better. I can ride now. Let's
go. I can do this.
Oh, my gosh.
That makes sense, yes.
I'm hoping I can... do something with Thunder in the next year to get him to come down to Varf, because that would be awesome, being
that
able to,
would
like,
be wonderful.
Occasionally ride around the fair.
I don't think it's outside of his realm by any means, but I don't think it's going to be in the next year.
Yeah, he's got some he's got some training to go through.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Nothing
super bad. I mean, he's so food-oriented. It's not like he wants to move.
Oh, he will do anything for food.
That's the proverbial dangle the carrot in front of him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's not so much how he'll be when you're riding. My concerns come in how he'll be when he's not doing anything. Because that's when he causes trouble.
Yeah. If, if he gets bored.
Okay.
Like, if he's just eating, he doesn't care. He will eat forever. But if his head comes up and you see it click over it going, I'm bored, you could literally feel the, you know what? I'm just going to go this way for about a mile. And I'm going, no.
And we have also recently discovered that he's, so we went through a period of about a year, year and a half with him where he was playing with the horses in the field next door over the fence, and they would periodically knock down fence boards. If he just leans on a fence board, it pops off. It just sees him and goes, ah, and jumps off the post.
He's a big guy.
He leaned into one and almost took out three boards on one fence.
Oh, really?
Right. Yeah, wow. Yeah. He's incredibly powerful, and he has no idea how much space he takes up or how much heft he really has. So I put a hot wire down that stretch of fence, and we figured, okay, problem solved. And we went several months with no broken fences at all. Well, about a month ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, we got a phone call from the farm that he was in the wrong field. He had clear jumped the whole thing. The horses in the other field were running around and playing, and he wanted to go play, and so he cleared it. I mean, nothing came down. He went straight over. So that's a concern we have to address as well.
Yeah, I gotta make taller fences.
Mm-hmm. Well, also, if we get into an arena or a ring or we go into a list.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's got a very dominant personality.
Okay.
Which means that if he doesn't like the horse across the stretch, he may just lean across and go, try to nip at him a little bit. And I'm going, that I can handle. But if he decides that he's had enough, and he decides to just jump the middle lane.
Ooh, that's so cool.
Well, we don't think he will.
I don't think you're going to have any issues with him when he's actually in use. Because, I mean, we used him for archery clinics all last year. And the system, the lane system, is very, very similar. Mm-hmm. It's one lane of people going down, one lane of people returning. So he is crossing other horses that are coming toward him in very close proximity. Mm-hmm. And he was perfectly fine with all that, but he was working at the time. He had a job to do, and he knows he's getting to know what his job is, which is nice.
That is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then eventually I'll have to ramp it up where it's going to be, you know, putting on plate and putting on the heavy saddle and seeing how he reacts to that. And then, you know, eventually
baby steps.
Mm-hmm. But he's a city boy. He is a city boy living a country life, and it takes some acclimations.
Yeah.
He had to adjust to trees.
Oh, well,
those were new.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting working to get, you got to see him. You're what, like 400 feet away? You could see him from.
Oh, did you? Oh, yes. Up close to the fence?
No, we went out on the veranda and we looked out. Okay. And I was like, the big dark one, that's mine.
Oh, yeah. Stands a good head and a half higher than the fence, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
He's obnoxiously huge, but he's also a sweetheart. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he really is. Good. But we digress.
We digress. But that's what we do at a breakout session. These things that happen.
We constantly digress. But
understandable. And we've been having our dance practices.
Those are fun.
Oh God, those are fun.
You had one today.
I had one today, and we will have a. I'm not going to announce it because it hasn't been fully. It is being pursued as a possible addition to our dance repertoire. But it is not official yet. So
sounds good.
I'm not talking about that part one yet. But we got to talk to Trip, and we met some new people. And
you guys are learning a new one, potentially?
Potentially.
Okay.
Potentially.
Potentially.
We'll talk about that. We can't talk about that on the podcast, but we can talk about that later.
All right.
especially the way we say potentially.
We can talk about it on the pod, because now you've left everybody. So there's a TV show that we've been watching, and one of the characters says, potentially.
Oh, yeah.
This is one of the ones we were sharing with you last time.
And so we've started, like, mimicking some of these. So we'll just, like, walk into the kitchen and someone will be like, are you hungry? Potentially.
Do you want this? Hard no. So and we've watched, like, 6 or 7 seasons of this.
Of course.
And so now we're hooked. And
you're picking up all those mannerisms.
Oh.
Yes.
Being living in the country... And then seeing a show about other people from the country in Canada is a different framework and how they deal with their sports. And I just love it. And
That's fantastic. It's
so hysterical because it fits so well. Mm-hmm. A world, you know, half a continent away and still, you know, it could be like they live right next to you.
Of course.
But we had the new dances stuff that we were talking about and... we had a couple of staff coming back, actors coming back, like a whole part of a family that is learning some stuff. They come back.
That's great.
We like bringing them in as singles, doubles, and families.
Yes. Well, that's really the most efficient way of doing it. First you hook one, then they bring a sibling, and then they bring the whole family.
Then there's mom and dad and grandma. Why not?
Get everybody involved.
If I had any family around here, I'd bring them.
And last year we had guest cast, which included a dog.
I love it.
Was it this past year? Yeah. They came down from New York.
Yeah. Okay, now I remember.
Yes.
Sounds good.
We were running around.
I'll say, true irony is that my son got into VAR before I did.
Oh, wow. Really?
He was with the original Virginia Renaissance Fair.
Oh.
Wow. Out on Route 3.
Mm.
And he was one of the, I guess, kids that worked the vendor booths and that sort of stuff. Basically a barker.
Mm-hmm.
And had a very thick accent that he was asked on more occasions than once about where actually he lived in Great Britain. Sometimes it would be Irish, sometimes it'd be Welsh, sometimes it'd be Scottish.
Hey, but, it changes with the day. That's great.
But then he moved. What can I say? He's out in Montana now, so I can't.
We have to trick him and bring him back.
Montana has a Ren Fair.
Yeah, I think it does. There's also the Colorado Fair.
A one-weekend Ren Fair.
It's a start.
It's a start.
Yeah, there's a bunch. There's a couple that finally started coming up.
Honey, it snows too much out there. I'm not.
Yeah. Ooh, a winter fair? I would be willing to do that for a weekend.
Yeah.
Like in like snow and stuff like that, where you're going in and out and you're...
It
would be different.
Yeah, okay, have fun.
It would be cold.
It would be cold, but... And sometimes comparative to the heat, it's nice to try something different.
Listen, I was just outside.
More layers.
I was just outside for like 3 hours
really
in the 20 degree
you
weather.
Really need
and
more layers.
Not a whole
that's
lot.
Fine. No. Vetoed. Have fun. Sayonara. I will do that for about 20 minutes and then I'm done.
Kristen went from a fighter to like a bar wench because it's warm in there.
I can understand.
I'm changing
occupations. They have a fire in there. Look, I am okay right now sitting on the couch in flannel pants, a long sleeve t-shirt, under a comforter. And I'm just waiting for a cat to jump in my lap. That would
finish out
that
the
would
warming
finish
room.
Out
there
the,
you go. You'd have all
oh,
the
and
warm
a cat
layers.
Has appeared.
The last one for me.
All yours. You're my guest.
Why, thank you, sir. You're most gallant.
We are eating cookies and drinking and just having a good time.
But like eating cookies is not code for something. We're literally
eating
cookies.
And when I
They're
say drinking,
Girl
we're
Scout
literally just drinking water and iced tea and just chilling. That's why I really like the breakout sessions because it gives you a chance. Like we just randomly start talking about things, and I have to think about that. There's probably somebody going, I understand that. Like just like they're listening into the conversation and going,
"Hey, Rennies are people too."
we just have our own little world. That's all.
And it's getting bigger. we have a lot of people that come in from different groups mm-hmm. and different events, and well, a lot of people are starting to do more than one fair, you know, like a couple weeks
I've
here.
I've noticed that, yeah.
Admittedly, I was scrolling through my Facebook feed yesterday. This was at work.
Facebook TM.
In the ladies' room, just scrolling, and an ad popped up on my Facebook feed for the Texas Fair. And
which one?
Texas Run Fest.
Ah, TRF.
So I was like, I've always wanted to check that out. I wonder when it is. So I clicked on it. So they're getting their clicks, and it's all from me. so I clicked on it, and it's not until September. It opens at the end of September. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, then I was like, well, darn, I wanted to go somewhere, like, now. So I X'd out of it. Sorry, Texas, but you're not for, like, another 8 months. So then I went, you know, I wonder if there's any fairs going on right now, like, in a warm spot.
Florida.
It's not going on right now.
Florida's not going on right now.
No. They're actually... I didn't find any that are going on right now. So, for our listeners out there, it's currently the middle of February. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'd love to go someplace warm-ish. For, like, a weekend.
I don't know.
There are some wonderful groups on Twitter that I'm not going to name until we, like, befriend them, so to speak.
Right. Oh, so they know that we're talking about them?
So we know that we're talking about them, but... there is one resource on Twitter. You can look up Renaissance Fairs on Twitter, and there is one resource that literally tells you when every fair opens in the United States and when every fair closes.
How cool.
And it's pretty awesome because I was getting updates from them like every week of like, this fair opened, but this fair closed. Like it was such a and this fair opens and this fair closed.
You could probably make a life of going from one fair to the next to the next.
You can. A lot of people do.
Unlimited funds, but other than that,
mm-hmm. a lot of people do make a life of mm-hmm. of doing it.
Called full time Rennies.
Well, I also know a lot of the vendors go from fair to fair to fair mm-hmm. to fair mm-hmm. to fair.
Yeah. They also go to, like, conventions and mm-hmm. events in between. And
sure.
Well, and of course, a lot of the bigger shows, too. Like, I had a whole list of, like, 8 of them until I needed one. Well, and then, of course, the first one that pops into my head is Circus Stella. And, yes, they do fairs, but they also do... carnivals and
street events
and I know they do corporate stuff. They're in Virginia Beach every summer doing street shows out there, and I've seen them at the Orange County Fair.
There's festivals around, and
yeah, there's always stuff going on, but there are some shows that are exclusively Ren Fair shows that mm-hmm. make a living and make a life going to all the different fairs the whole circuit throughout the country.
So, and that's actually going to be something we're going to be working on for the future. I'm going to be trying to do some Skype calls.
Oh.
So, I've got to work my way through figuring that out. I've been trying to do it since, like, last year, like, off and on, mm-hmm. with not a lot of success.
I resemble that. I understand that.
We actually have to make a small correction. Right now, the Bay Area Renaissance Fair in Tampa, Florida is going on. It opened, it's opening next week. And Arizona is going mm-hmm. on right now as well. So my apologies for the misinformation, but there are some fairs that are open right now.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I can't make it to Arizona and back in a weekend.
It's a little
That would take a little bit more planning.
or a little more moolah.
Ooh, the red eye to Arizona.
Ooh,
we can put it on the credit card. Let's just go.
Nobody in our listening audience is seeing the look of my eyebrow climb up into my skull.
Let's just go. All of us, the entire cast, will do a VARF invasion of the run of the Arizona Fair.
And which lottery ticket?
I have no idea.
Oh, like, my gosh.
I am literally flying by the seat of my pants.
Just had this image of her trying to rent an Airbus.
Surely somebody on cast...
Just blew hairs on a boy of my arms tired.
Tired, yes. I was say, surely somebody on cast has a fuel-efficient vehicle.
That we would have to, what, drive at Mach 5?
If we all split the cost of a hotel room, just one...
Okay.
How many people?
All 50 people of the cast in one room.
I hate to say this, but that's a 2-day drive minimum. And that's flying low.
No, it's to California, it's 5 days.
I know.
4 days
I've
if you're
it.
Pushing it. Arizona is definitely a 4-day.
Arizona,
yeah, 4 days, that's right.
Arizona is a 4-dayer because Texas is a 2-dayer.
True.
And that's like
you're
18
right.
That's
hours.
If you're rotating drivers.
Yeah.
That's if you're driving nonstop, basically.
Yes.
Driven to the Texas Fair.
So,
Scarborough
Fair.
Let's
see. 4-day drive for 2 days there.
It would not be the first time I made a 3-day trip in a day and a half.
Okay.
So,
We don't discuss these things anymore.
Last summer, I went with two of the girls from the barn, one of which was my mother, and the other was one of the girls from our barn, and we wanted to go pick up a horse that was in Georgia.
Oh, you have to make sure you tell them about what happened before this.
Oh, the day before we went, no, 2 days before we went, I had all 4 wisdom teeth removed, and I had surgery on the nerve that they were interacting with. So,
ouch.
Yeah, and I was not supposed to be driving on this trip. But it happened.
Of course.
So, we all wanted to go pick up this horse down in Georgia, the southern part of Georgia. So, it's ordinarily...
Not that it's southern, but, you know.
It's another 3 hours.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, we're not talking South Carolina border. We had to go all the way through Georgia to get there. So, we what ordinarily would have been a 12-hour trip... gets made longer by the fact that we're in a diesel pickup truck with a horse trailer behind us, and even longer on the way back because now we have the weight of the horse in the trailer as well. So we had a certain span of time after which two of them got off of work and one of me had to return to work. And that span of time was exactly 2 days. So we left at about 3:00 in the afternoon one day, and we drove straight down and we got into something Circle, Georgia. Center Circle, City Circle, Georgia, something like that. This little town in Georgia. At about 4:00 in the morning, and we pulled into a Walmart parking lot, and the other two ladies and the service dog that was with us slept in the horse trailer, and I fit perfectly across the bench seat in the back of the pickup because I'm only 5'2". So
there are advantages.
There are advantages.
I'd never be able to.
We had...
Your feet would be out the window.
Right? Luckily, it was a warm night. I think we did this in July.
Yes.
So, warm night. So, we pull into the parking lot. We were able to get about 2.5 hours of sleep before we had to meet the owner at the barn, get the horse on the trailer, and hit the road to get back up here to Virginia. So...
Not having decided whether or not they were actually going to take the horse with them at this
okay.
point.
Okay.
Well, you got to see the goods before you buy it. We did. She's in the front field. So we did. She came home. Lovely, lovely mare. So that, I will call it morning. It was about 5:30 in the morning. My alarm goes off and I go outside the truck. I'm going to open up the trailer and make sure the other two are awake so we can hit the road to go pick the horse up. What I did not know is, I guess because we were in a Walmart parking lot, they didn't feel real safe sleeping in the back of the trailer, or maybe it was because they had the dog with them, I'm not sure, but something led them to bungee cord the doors shut on the trailer. So I went to open the trailer door to wake them up, And the handle opened like normal, but when I yanked back on the door, the bungee cord engaged. I lost my grip on the handle. The door shut on my face.
Ouch.
It was lovely. I was upset. So we get in the truck. We go, we meet the horse, we load the horse up on the trailer, we hit the road, we're on our way home. We get to the town just south of home, and we pull over, we're going to grab some fuel, some food, and make the last 30-minute journey. And while we're sitting in the truck, I accidentally popped one of my stitches from my surgery while we're sitting in the truck. So,
owie.
Yeah, it was kind of a rough trip in that regard.
Yeah.
Also, because I still couldn't eat anything yet, so all my meals were liquid.
Okay.
So I had like a smoothie that I was waiting for the smoothie to melt so that I could like spoon it, drink it out of the cup. No straws.
Oh, jeez.
So that was my 3-day trip in a day and a half adventure. Right after,
fun,
oral surgery.
Yeah. Why we hang out?
Listen. If you're gonna do something stupid, you do it right.
Hey. So, we're talking about what was it the wonderful food place that I have to talk to them before we can put them on. They have a door on the wall.
Okay. Does it go anywhere? Does it lead anywhere?
No, it doesn't lead anywhere. It's like art.
Okay.
And I chose to sit in one spot. Well, we had more people coming, so I scooted down. And I kept laughing. Well, when I laugh, everybody sees it. My head goes back a little bit. I kind of like laugh up high into the air because I have a loud laugh. And I've been told if I laugh at normal level with everybody else, I deafen them. So
Jim laughs with his whole body.
And I started laughing up, and this, my head and this doorknob on this door were the perfect height and were perfectly compatible. So I laughed like 4 times, like, ha ha, thunk. And everybody would stop, look at me, and I'm like, eh, it doesn't matter. And they would kind of crack up for a minute. Mm-hmm. And that's what Kat said. Kat's like, he's just got a hard head. I was like, yeah, it's hard other places and parts. And
he actually does have a few dents in his head.
Well, I do. We were talking about those. I have very few dents. I thought it was going to be more like. So for those of you who are listening right now, I have shaved my head. I had a ponytail for
38 years.
No. My God! Like when I was 15? So, like, 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
35 years. And, so I finally decided, you know what,
fall? It was 2 weeks ago.
No, last fall, I was in the, I earned my black belt, and when I earned my black belt, it kept getting in the way. The ponytail kept getting in the way. And I was that like, okay. And then I was doing some sword practice. And I whipped the sword back to my right, I whipped my head to the left, and the ponytail wrapped around the sword. And I went to swing the sword back into action and about took my own head off.
Whoa!
Took myself off my own feet. So I was like, you know, that's not a costume error I'm going to go for. I'm going to, you know.
Yes.
So I'm, you know, clean it up and take care of it. So I shaved my head. And I really thought it was going to be, like, golf ball. Like, he's just going to have, like, a whole bunch of, like dents.
Divots.
And just divots. You know, somebody's going to be able to, like, touch my head and tell the future or something. It's like, the second circle of the third thing in the moon.
That's phrenology, I believe.
There's a word!
Yes, there is a word.
We learn something every day. We are an educational nonprofit. Let's roll with that.
Yes, indeed.
Wow. I mean, that's a stretch, but okay.
So we learned, hey, I'll learn anything once.
Let's face it, in Elizabethan times, soothsayers and phrenologists and any number of other people.
I've got a bit. I'm totally going to have one of like the soothsayers or like the readers just like
rub
run their fingers all over my head and just do people's, you
tell
know,
your fortune.
Tell your fortune.
The lumps and bumps in your head.
In order to do that, you would have to remove your hat.
Well, I mean, if it's for an occupation, I can remove my hat. But it has to be purpose. There has to be a purpose for me to remove my hat.
Right.
Absolutely.
Well, right. And like a blacksmith would wrap his head, mm-hmm. but he would remove his hat to do blacksmithing.
Correct.
But you don't want to light that on fire.
Well, it's like the women that wear a cowl of some sort mm-hmm. underneath a hat. Yeah.
Accomplishes the same. So you've also got long hair. Mm-hmm. Ever get it caught in anything, your costuming?
All the time.
I know we were chatting earlier about you having to put it up underneath wigs.
A little bun on the top of my head. Under a wig. I actually, when I do face painting and come out as a face painter but not a clown, I have a vest and a hat that are sequined. Have you ever tried to get long hair out of sequins? It's a pain in the butt.
It's like one of those little cloth tie things
like
for every last
sequin. It's
individual
hairs wrapped around. And I don't want to ruin the vest, so I'm meticulously pulling, going, ow, 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 ow.
But if you do it right, when you're done, you have doilies.
I don't have enough hair for that.
That's why she's my co-host. Every once in a while, she just destroys the room. Singer.
Every now and again, they come out. Except when I need them. Like when I could really use them.
It's
they're
like,
not
it's like the
there.
Invisibility superpower. Who would know?
Exactly.
Unless somebody else was there.
Go figure.
Go figure.
Last weekend, I got my hair caught in the chain for a swing set.
Ouch.
The swing chain. Yeah, not fun. And then about 40 minutes later, I got it caught in the car door.
Oh,
so,
ouch.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are times when I have threatened to shave my head because it gets in the way. But
I did a couple years. Well, I did like an undercut. Four years ago, I think it was.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking, you know, for the summer, I did this at the end of June, so for the summer I was going to do the undercut, and I went about halfway up the back of my head, and very quickly realized that doing an undercut for someone like me is a gateway drug. I could very easily, I had to grow it out immediately, I didn't even go get it redone, because I knew that if I asked her for the undercut again, I was going to have her go up higher and do the sides.
There you go.
And before we were done, I was going to end up with like all kinds of pretty color. I wanted, it was going to be a mohawk, and it was going to be dyed, and it was going to have the shaved sides, and I was like, I work as a professional person 5 days a week, and I need to be presentable to the public. I can't do this. So we just grew it out, and we're going to keep growing. I almost can't stand it, so it's almost time to donate again, but we can go a little further.
Yeah.
So
unfortunately, I can't donate gray hair.
Why not?
They don't take it.
They won't take it.
Most of the hair that's collected is used to make wigs for children.
Yeah.
What child do you know has silver gray hair?
There has got to be a kid out there who wants to punk rock out. I'm telling you right now. I was like, there's probably a little kid that's like, don't you have white? Of all the colors you have, why don't you have white? And it's like,
honey,
we don't collect white hair.
They have to know every other hair, you know? That's the problem.
There's enough people.
I would want to sort it.
You also can't donate dyed hair, so it's not like you could color it and then donate it, because you can't donate dyed hair.
Well, that would, I mean, like,
details.
Like, gray and white hair would be, like, perfect for dyeing, though. I mean, if somebody really wanted something custom.
Yeah, actually, it would be. But,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
it soaks up the color,
whatever
color.
We're going to have to start another nonprofit. What happened? Well, we had so many great ideas during the breakout session. We just...
No, what do you call it? Wigs for punks?
No, not punk wigs, but...
Well, that actually comes in handy, though, when I do Mrs. Claus, you know.
Yeah.
I don't have to wear a wig.
Well...
But I usually do, which is surprising, because it's pure white.
Yeah, because who wants you know, Mrs. Claus light?
Something like that.
Well, I think that, you know, having the natural gray hair would be more of like a, you know, Mrs. Father Christmas vibe.
You've got a point there.
Yeah, yeah. Very much more, you know, classic Victorian
not
kind
not
of
as much
a style
the commercial
to it.
Thing.
Exactly.
You know, whereas the white, the pure white wig is very, you know, this is something that Burl Ives would sing about.
This is something somewhere comes. Wait, no.
I think that was wrong.
That was wrong.
This
something
wicked this way
wicked
comes.
This way comes.
Something. Yay, Shakespeare.
Something wicked this way. This way comes.
And now you're catering to a very specific audience.
Oh, yeah. About this big.
Oh. So this is Jim Miller and Kristen Erlitz and the wonderful Pat. And this is the Renaissance Recall breakout session. And we will catch up with you guys next time, our next breakout session. And hopefully we'll get a couple more people in here, do a couple dual interviews. And we will do these just to kind of shoot the proverbial and have fun and let you get to know us better as people, since you don't get to meet us as characters at the fair. Or you meet us as characters at the fair.
Yes.
So
they don't get to meet us as people. They meet us as characters.
You meet us as characters.
Yeah, boy, are we a character.
Boy, are we characters.
I think by now what most of our listeners have realized is that those characters are not so much characters. It's just a little part of our personality that we keep hidden the rest of the year.
Shh, you're breaking the imagery.
Don't suppress it, honey.
This is Renaissance Recall Breakout. We look forward to seeing you in the past. Help us bring history to life. Come out and play with us. Thank you very much. Share us on social media. Share our thing. Share it with a friend. Give us a mark on YouTube. Not YouTube. iTunes. Wow, that was a mess up.
Do you
give
even
us
know
a review on iTunes. And I'll learn how to speak English. It's my second language right now. Hopefully I get a first. And I will catch up with you guys later. Meet us out there. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Jamboree-ho, jamboree-ho, you ring-tailed sailors coming out behind. Ho, jamboree-ho, jamboree, Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm. Now, me lads, be of good cheer, for Lundy's Isle, it holds quite near, so it's way down below, and stow your gear. Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm. Ho, jamboree-ho, jamboree-ho, your ring-tailed sailors coming up behind. Ho, jamboree-ho, jamboree, keep your tailpiece warm. Hartland Point's coming up in sight, on the port bow, sitting Lundy's light, we'll be stroking up some fires tonight. Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm. Ho, jamboree-ho, jamboree-ho, your ring-tailed sailors coming up behind. Ho, jamboree-ho, jamboree, Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm. Pilot cutters coming up ahead, there'll be no more horse meat or hardtack bread. Tonight we'll sleep in your feather bed. Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm. Ho! Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, ho! Your ring-tailed sailors coming up behind. Ho! Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm. We'll make port by the end of day. We can see the girls standing on the quay. And as we leave, we'll be getting our pay. So, Jenny, your tailpiece warm. Ho! Jamboree! Ho! Jamboree! Ho! Your ring-tailed sailors coming up behind. Ho! Jamboree! Ho! Jamboree! Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm. I've been several weeks on shore, but a sailor lad, he must roam forevermore. So it's fare thee well to me, Liverpool whore. Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm.
Come on!
Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, ho! Your ring-tailed sailor.
Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm. 1, 2, 3, 4! Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, hire ringtail sailors. Coming out behind, ho! Jamboree, ho! Jamboree. Jenny, keep your tailpiece. Jenny, keep your tailpiece.
Of coal. Hey, naughty, naughty!
Welcome to our newest segment, Ask an Amnesiac, for all that knowledge from someone who's never known what he's talking about. Hello, Bruno.
Oh, hello. My name is Bruno the Lost. I'm an amnesiac. It's very nice to meet you.
It's nice to meet you too again, Bruno.
Again?
That must be one of the nice things about being an amnesiac. Again. You always meet new people every day.
Oh, I meet new people all the time. Sometimes in the same day, multiple times, which I still have not figured out yet.
Well, you know, today we have some more questions from people on social media. Now, these are people that you never will meet, but that's okay.
Oh, well, who's social and what is his house called media?
He won the naming contest.
Oh, it's very important to win contests. It's very important.
It is. Now, speaking of someone who can't win a contest.
Oh, very well.
Our question has to do with what makes a good mare?
What makes a good mare?
And not the horse. Not the horse. In this case, the person who helps run the town that you live in.
We have a horse named Mare?
Oh,
very well. The mare is a very important person. And he tells other people what to do and where to go. So more importantly, he does, one, you have to look very, very respectable. And second, you have to have very flamboyant clothing and a very big hat.
I didn't realize you knew such a big word as flamboyant. That's very impressive, Bruno.
Which word did I say?
Flamboyant.
I've never said that before. Very well.
And of course you haven't.
To be a good mayor is you have to be fair, but you have to make sure you have no responsibility whatsoever.
I'm not sure I understand how that works.
You have to avoid responsibility like a poke in the hip with a knife.
That would be rather unpleasant.
And so what you do is every time somebody asks you to do something, you turn to somebody else and you say, good, you do this.
Delegation. I believe I've read about this.
Kazoom type.
Never mind.
And then once you know how to do that, and you can look respectable. Now, not noble respectable. Not noble respectable. But just shy of like the knee of noble respectable. Like right below the sword hilt handle. Like not really short, but you know, kind of compact. And that's what it takes to be a mayor.
Truly, you do have a dizzying intellect.
I kazoom tight again.
Thank you, Bruno.